Today we're going to continue with the creation of man, and we're going to talk about the differences in the psukim. The psukim we read already speak about creating zachar and nekeva, and the Rashi says there's a different creation. The man was created, and then the female was created from man's side. And we're gonna try and work this Rashi out. So let's read the Gemara. Let's read the Chumash. We're gonna do it a little bit quicker, but because there's a lot here to do, we only have two shirim left. So we'll try. Eile told us Hashemayim. These are the generations of the heavens, the haaretz, and the earth. Behi baram, in the creating of them. Pasuk Dalet, Perek Beit, the second Perek. Pasuk Dalet. Behi baram, in the creating of them. Biyom asot, in the time that Hashem made, Hashem Elokim. Remember we spoke about that here. Shittuf midas harachamim. Eretz v'shamayim, the heavens and the earth. So we're going to use this. Obviously, this is in actuality how man was created. When we spoke about man's creation, it was man was creation alpi midas hadin. That means man's tachlis, man's ala b'machshava to create alpi din. It means ala b'machshava to create man alpi din. And Tosfos Lamaisa says this in Erevin. Ala b'machshava to create man alpi midas hadin means he was created male and female together. Du partzufim. That's what's written in the Gemara. Double faced, like Siamese twins, and he was split. So the tachlis of man is to be du partzufim, a male and female of the same height, right, and connected. So that's where man is to be. We're not understanding that completely yet. We're going to understand that in the process of the next two shurim, hopefully. So now it says, because siach hasadeh, and all the, how you say siach, the produce of the fields, terem, before, this is pasuk hey, perek beit, the fifth pasuk, terem yebar, it's before it was in the land, the kol esev, and all the herbitude hasadeh, terem yitzmach, before it came out. Remember, it's still only there in potential. Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim, God didn't bring rain ala aretz. Va'adam, and man, ayin, lavod et adaman. There's no man to work the land. So we already explained, the man's purpose is to express his potential, right? The goodness within. And that expression of potential is what, if it's done in a humble way, like that's why he was created with humility, that expression of man is going to give him dominion. That means man's dominion over the animals and the world, right? As we spoke about before. Now, ve'ed ya'ale min ha'aretz, and it's like cloud will rise up from the land, vishka et kol pnei ha'adama, and will like rain on the land. This will happen. This hasn't yet happened. This will happen. When will this happen? When man prays for rain. Right? Okay. Now let's see what happens. Vayitzeh Hashem Elokim, and God formed et ha'adam, afa min ha'adama. Now we're going into man's creation. According to one of Pshat and Rashi in detail, according to the other Pshat and Rashi, this is how man was created in actuality. We spoke about beforehand was in Machshava, Arpidin, the tachlis, the purpose. So man was created from the land. Vayipach ba'apav, and he blew into his nostrils, Nishmat Chaim, the spirit of life. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, and man became a living soul. So this is man's creation, right? You don't say see Selem Elohim here, you don't see anything, you see God blowing life into man, right? Beforehand you see he was created, he asked the Malachim to create man, he's created Kudmuso, Kutsalmo, Kudmuso, like his form, he's similar to God. Here you just say God creating man, right? Nothing about who man is. So let's see Rashi here. Rashi is bothered. Okay, let's do the previous Rashi, because explain it in a different way. I'm going to come back to those Rashis. That's going to be later on. Yeah. All right. Vayitzeh, says Vayitzar, right? Vayitzer ma Hashem Elokim. God formed. Why is it two yuds? It should be one yud. But Rashi is bothered by the two yuds. Shtei Yetzirot. There's two forms to man. Yetzirah l'olam hazeh. There's a form in this world. Vayitzirah l'chtchias ha'meisim. And a form to the world to come. A spiritual form. Ava b'behema, in the animals, she'ena omedet ledin, who don't stand in judgment, lo nichta b'yitzirata shnei yudim. When it said he formed the animals, it's only written with one yud. Man was created with two yuds. Right? Two yuds represents the world, this world and the world to come. Right? Which is the first yud? The way Rashi seems to be saying it is the tchias ha'meisim. You know, no, this world and the world to come, right? All right. So now we have to understand why that is. What are we told by that in man? What's the necessity to be told that?
There's no God in heaven.
No. The man is created in a way that he has two paths. He's formed physical and he's formed spiritual. He has two forms. A form which is tchias ha'meisim, which is the resurrection of the dead, i.e. a physical form which is spiritual, which will be spiritual, which will become spiritual form, and a physical form which is physical. This is, in essence, the creation of man. Man was created min ha'elyonim, from the upper worlds and from the lower worlds. Right? That's intrinsic to his creation, because man is a baal bechira. Man is a person who can choose. And the ability to choose gives him the ability to become a baal hatova, a person who can do good. Now, those of you who haven't been in the previous shiurim, I'm just repeating some of the previous shiurim, so you understand, you won't get it. Afa min ha'adama, he was created. Dust from the earth. Tzava afaro mikol ha'adama. He gathered the dust from all the lands, mi'al baruchot, from all four corners, shebechol makom, that in every place, shiyamut, that he'll die, shamte kolto. There the land will absorb him to bury him. Okay? That's why he needed to be gathered from all the four corners. Alright? Dava ache, another pshat. Right? Natal afaro mimokom shene'emar bo. He took his earth from the place it says in it, Mizbeach Adama Ta'aseli. Mizbeach, a sanctuary of land, make for me, i.e., the Mizbeach, make for me.
It's
Mizbeach. Mizbeach is the altar, make for me. Altar of land, make for me. Halavai Shtelo Kapara Viuchalo Modbo. Halavai, this will be a kapara that you can stand in it. So what does this mean? First of all, we have to ask, what does this mean? First of all, what's a diuk? Diuk says ha-adama. It says the land. What do you mean the land? That means a specific land. Mm-hmm. So Rashi is coming to say, what specific land? All the lands of the world. So wherever he will be, die, it'll absorb him, right? We don't have a problem with an animal dying. An animal, you know, decomposes, absorbs.
But how do you gather from the earth is round?
You have kasha on God. God doesn't have a problem gathering. Or he'll take a little grain from every single spot of the world, right? An infinitesimal grain. Probably a lot of land. Enough that there'll be enough that what he needs, right? It's not a kasha on God. And also, you have to understand something. It's a concept. We're not coming to teach you that literally God went and gathered. I mean, he did. I mean, says in the Chumash, so he gathered, but I don't know, you know, what it means in terms of God doing things, right? How did God? Did he go around with his hand and pick it up?
He gathers from the four corners, but
yeah, but it doesn't mean that. It's a concept. It means concept. It means from everywhere on the earth.
South, east, west.
Yeah, it means. Yeah, that means. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that the. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says it's a machlokus umas ha'olam, and if the world is round or if the world is flat. Gemara in Tzachim.
But like, what is? I don't know. Of course, it doesn't mean that exactly. But like, what does it mean for corners? Four corners? Why not three corners?
Because you only have it's four sides. It means four sides. It means from all the sides of the world. That's what it means. It doesn't mean corners literally. It means all the sides of the world. It means everywhere. That's what it means.
Okay.
Now, Now it says, so that's one pshat. Another pshat is that, 1 second, he was taken from the land of the, of the Mizbeah, from the altar. The land of the altar. Why is he taken from the land of the altar? Because that would be his kapara. Halavai she'amodbo, that would be kaparato. What does this mean? This doesn't make sense. What does this mean? First of all, who says man was supposed to die? He didn't yet, didn't do the chet yet.
Right?
So, man was created with the possibility of dying. You understand what we're talking about here? And then it's saying he would need an altar to be his kapara. The halavai, this lamb, will be his kapara. The altar would be a kapara. He's taken from the mizbech to be the kapara. For, I mean, man has the ability to sin. And he will sin.
That.
So we're seeing that intrinsic to man, the offer is intrinsic to him sinning, right? We've seen two pshatim, or he's going to die, or he's going to sin. And that's why he was created from this form of from earth. You with me?
Why is death not an option?
Because man was supposed to live forever.
Even if a grenade was planted in his body.
It would have been a grenade. Nothing would have happened to him. I mean, first of all, a grenade would have no effect on him. He was completely spiritual before the chet. We wouldn't be, Adam Rishon was alive now, you wouldn't see him. He was a completely spiritual being.
He was transparent?
He wouldn't see you either, but you wouldn't see him. You would be like some, I don't know, some animal, I don't know. Right? He wasn't a Homo sapien, he wasn't an ape man. He was a completely spiritual man, completely spiritual being. He was covered all the spiritual worlds. We're not talking about man like we mean man. You understand? Okay, but what's this? But Chumash is already telling us that man intrinsically has a point of sinning.
Well, that's why he was looking as a backup plan, like we did the other times when it said that he created. So it said from the tree, when the ground sprouted the tree, and the tree was supposed to produce fruit that tasted like the ground was supposed to produce the tree. What did we say? The tree was supposed to be
the tree was
like
supposed
the fruit,
to fruit,
right?
And it didn't do that.
Yeah, and that was supposed to symbolize that man was at a choice of sinning or not, so it was God's backup plan that he was going to sin. So in case, to add on to that backup plan, if he sinned, he was going to die.
Okay, that's all right. So that's the void. The void is, it's intrinsic to man's creation, this ability to sin and this ability to die. I.e., man wasn't created, even in the beginning of his creation, right? Was created intrinsically with that ability. And where does ability come from? From the offer, his physicality. You with me? His physicality. Man's physicality is intrinsic to his chet. But we're also saying that his physicality is his kapara.
Kapara is like a...
his atonement. Why is his physicality is his ability to be atoned? What is it? Why is that? Why is Mizbech made with Adama? And from that Adama was man was created. Because it's telling you, why should a person have the ability to do tshuva? Only if a person is somewhat not 100% responsible for his sin.
If there's some level of temptation.
Yeah. At some level, the man was made in that way that he could sin. He's been given this ability to sin. His free will. The ability to sin is basically the ability that he's physical. And since man was created physical, right, from Afa, therefore he intrinsically has the ability to sin. And that intrinsic ability to sin allows man to be atoned for his sin. Because it's not 100% him completely sinning. There's part of man which is intrinsic, which is connected to physicality, which brings him to sin. So therefore, because of that, he can have kapara of the altar, of the Mizbeach. You with me? Okay. Understand why man's physicality and how that physicality can be overcome. Why is it, another thing we didn't understand, why is it that you need to be taken from all different parts of the earth in order for his burial to be absorbed? What does that mean? That he'd be absorbed in the land. What does that mean?
Can't be buried on the moon.
Okay, it can't be buried on the moon. Halakhically, it can't be buried on the moon, right? But what does that mean? You can't be buried in the sea either, right? Forget the moon, you can't be buried in the sea. But what does it mean that he's the land is colet him, it's absorbed him? What does that mean?
That you return, you're brought up from the earth, you return to the earth.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it means you become earthy. So what? An animal doesn't become earth?
More physical, more material.
An animal doesn't become earth? There's a problem when the animal dies. Yeah, does an animal have the din kvura?
We have both. We go up and down.
Yeah, I know, but does an animal have kvura? Does an animal have birth? Do you have to, if your dog dies, you have to bury it? No. No din kvura. It's only din kvura by, you can cremate your dog. Not a problem.
Kvura,
burial. What's the din of burial? There's a certain concept of burial. The man has to be buried.
We bury our own.
Right. Okay, why do we have to bury?
But that's a certain sense of closure and respect.
Yeah, but why man is buried and the earth absorbs him? Why it's necessary for the earth to absorb man?
Where did he
return
from?
The goof. The neshama goes to the place of neshamas. What's that? Kolto. The Loshon Chazal is kolto, that the earth will absorb him. Kolet. When you say a klita, you speak about a zera, about a, how you say, something you sow. You sow a seed, you say it's kolet in the adamah.
That's why we don't embalm people, so they get absorbed there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But what's the absorbing doing? This is Tchias HaMeisim, this is the concept. Gemara says that the burial, the concept of burial, is not like we think it's a decomposing of the body and that. That's not what's happening in burial. Burial is what's happening on a higher level, is that when you put, say you put a wheat, it's the marshal of the Gemara, you put a wheat in the land, it decomposes. The beginning, it decomposes, and after it decomposes, then it grows into a stalk of wheat. That's what burial is. Burial is a klita; it's an absorbing into the land, and then this body grows into a new higher level physical body, which is more spiritual, and that's Tchias HaMeisim. And the neshama comes back into this more spiritual body. And that's what we're talking about. So in other words, the land, right? The land is somehow going to produce a higher level of physical body. That's what's going to happen with Mumar. That's Tchias HaMeisim. The land, therefore, itself is going to come to a higher spiritual level. I.e., we're going back to our original point. The original point, the tachlis of the Bria is, right? Death is a separation of physical for spiritual. But the tachlis of the Bria is the physical and spiritual will become one. And that's what's going to happen, Tchias HaMeisim. The whole physical world will come to its tachlis, will come to its unification with the spiritual world. What part of the physical world? That part which is relevant to man. That part which is relevant to burial. Burial means, right, kvura means, right, the place where a child is born, right? The womb of a woman. The Gemara says that's called Ptichat HaKeva. The opening of the womb is called the opening of the grave. You have the tomb, the grave. Why does he use that word? I said, Lashon HaGemara, why does he use that word? Because a birth to a new state is coming out, is a womb. Death is just the beginning of a new state of birth. That new state of birth is Tchias HaMeisim. You with me?
So what about tzaddikim? They don't decompose.
They do. Who says they don't decompose? They do.
The stories of rabbis.
The bones maybe. The bones not. The flesh, yeah. Like flesh decomposes.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's what they said. That's why when they...
Yaakov lo meis. Yeah, but Yaakov Avinu, not all tzaddikim. Most tzaddikim are bone. Okay, all right. The tzaddikim died because of the chet of Adam Rishon. Okay, that's a different level. We're not talking about those.
Kevaracho too. I mean, Alex and I reached Kevaracho on Friday.
Yeah. I don't know if it said about Rachel lo mate. It says Yaakov lo mate. It doesn't say about Rachel lo mate. I don't know about Rachel. But, and it doesn't mean she's a Vada, she represents the whole Malchus of Klal Yisrael. We had a concept of what's Kevah Rachel, a concept of what Rachel is.
why their bodies don't decompose because they're closer, they're more ready for it to maintain, like they're more ready to...
No, I'm not saying decompose. You know, we're physical, so we're talking about decomposition. I'm not talking about physical decomposition. I'm talking about the concept of burial. The concept of burial in Judaism is it's a klita. It's an absorbing in the land to come to a new state. It's like coming out of the womb.
This is why there's
no
coffin, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have. Yeah.
Why can't you be buried in the water then?
Because there's no land. There's no land.
To the bottom of the land.
No, that's not considered land. Well, it won't sink. I don't think it will sink. Yeah, it won't sink.
Body could be eaten,
I don't know if the river bed is considered land. I don't know if the river bed is considered land.
Tear you apart. You never know.
And he blew. God blew in his nostrils. Right. So it's like a balloon. Right. Blew in his nostrils. Asom minatachtonim. He made him from the lower worlds. Uminaelyonim from the higher worlds. Guf minatachtonim. The body from the lower worlds, the neshama min ha'elyonim, and the soul from the higher worlds, lefi shebiyom rishon nivru shemayim ba'aretz, the first day, the heavens and the earth, higher worlds, lower worlds, sheni bara rakia, higher worlds, right, le'elyonim, shlishi tira yabasha le'tachtonim, that's the lower worlds, revi bara ma'orot, the light, le'elyonim, the higher worlds, chamishi yishutzu ha'mayim, the swarmy things in the waters, le'tachtonim, the lower worlds, Huzkaku b'shishi, on the sixth day, livrot bo me'elyonim u'matachtonim, from the higher worlds and from the lower worlds. V'imlav yeshkine b'maisa b'reishis. So there's jealousy in the world, in the creation of the world. Shiyu elu rabim al elu, v'briyas yom echad. Those more than those, with the creation of one day. Now that should be understood given what we said. Should be very well understood. Man was created... In order there to be free will in the world, there has to be an equality of the creation of the world. There has to be equal dominion of the higher worlds to the lower worlds. Therefore, on the sixth day, which is man's creation, who represents that equality, that equilibrium of bringing the higher worlds down to the lower worlds, right? By sublimating the lower worlds into the higher worlds as well, whichever way you want to say it, right? Kaddish the physical to make the physical more mekudesh, more holy. That's what kedusha means, to take the physical more holy, right? Right? That's what it means. So if that's the case, by man, yeah? So man has to be created from the lower and the higher worlds. Yeah? Le nefesh chaya, right? So he says we've created... What was the jealousy? The jealousy was that if the world was created with a non-equilibrium, the lower worlds would be jealous of the higher worlds. There's an imbalance.
So that's why man dies?
If there's an imbalance in the world, the world will go to one way without the other, right? And it won't be man's... Man won't have bechira, because there'll be a netiyah for the world to go one way. There won't be a proper free will of man. In order for man to have free will, right, there has to be an equal balance in the physical and the spiritual. Being jealousy means that there will be an imbalance. And because of that imbalance, the higher world will say, the lower world has an upper hand on us. Right? They have an upper hand. In other words, we can't be mashpi on the lower world. The world's going to become more physical. Or the higher world, the lower world will say, the higher world. The higher world's becoming more spiritual. There's no like equality in the world.
Do you think that that's the case now?
After the chet, there's an imbalance in the world. Ramchal, we'll speak about that when we do the chet. Be'ezrat Hashem one day. So the problem with this next pasuk is that here it says a man was created lenefesh chaya. When we created the animals beforehand, also you notice it used the same word that the animals were created nefesh chaya, a soul of life, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between man and the animals? Right, that's an important question. Seems from the pasuk, they're the same thing.
Free will.
So it says, look, let's see what Rashi says. Af behema v'chaya nikru nefesh chaya. Even the animals and the wildlife were called nefesh chaya. Achzu, it's Rashi, the pasuk.
Which
nefesh chaya. Achzu, this, however, shel adam, of man, chaya shebekulan, was more alive than all of the animals. Why is that? What made him more alive? You're listening, what makes a person more alife? Now we're defining life here.
Yeah,
so this is an important... No. Let's read the Rashi. Shinit osef bo dea v'dibu. Man was added to man. Das and dibu, and speech. Now, animals speak, dolphins speak, right? Animals have some sort of communicative language, right? So it's not that man was the only communicative animal. So what it means, nit osef ba, and it's also its mashma, there was more in man, das, understand, some of the understanding, and dibur, and speech. That's what defines man. The man has more of those two things. When man has less of those two things, he becomes more animalistic. So this is important to understand what man is. If you want to know what's the difference between a robot and a human being, this is the difference. Das v'dibur.
Animals have das and dibur.
They have a little bit of it. They have a little bit of, very little bit of dibur. I don't know, and the dibur that they have gives them their level of das. Okay. Very small.
They just have what they're programmed at.
We can choose.
Yeah.
Animals can't choose. But Rashi's not going on that at the moment. Rashi's going on das and dibur. We don't know yet. We're going to get further into this Rashi, into the Chumash, and we'll understand that.
What is das exactly?
We're going to get there. We don't know yet. So let's get there. Okay, that's the whole point of the creation of man, to get that. Because remember, we said man was commanded to eat from the eighth hadas. Remember? He was not to eat from the eighth hadas during the week. He was actually commanded to eat from the eighth hadas on Shabbos. So this is a very important concept, what das is. So we'll see soon. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim, and God brought out min adama, from the land, kol eitz nechmad lemare, all the fruit which was pleasant to see, v'tov lemachal, and good to eat, v'eitz hachayim b'toch hagan, and the tree of life inside this garden of Eden, v'eitz hadas, and the tree of das, tov v'ra. This is the first time we mentioned das in Chumash, right? Right? So what is this das? Huh? So what is this das? I'm going to skip to Pasuk Tezayin, the 16th Pasuk. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, and God commanded Al Adam, on man, Leimor, saying, Mikol Eitz Hagan, from all the trees of the gan, of the land, of the garden, Achol Tochachel, certainly eat. Umeitz Hadas Tovara, from the tree of das, of knowledge of good and evil, lo tochal, don't eat mimenu. Why? Ki biyom ochlecha mimenu, the day you eat from it, mot tamut, you will certainly die. Vayom Hashem Elokim, lo tov. Now that he created man, normally after the creation of something, we say tov meod, right? In the first pasuk, we said, Vayar Elokim et kol asher asah v'hineh tov mod, it was very good. Here, when he created man, he doesn't say it was good. Because here, in the previous Chumash, we said man was created together with his wife, Zachar Nokeva Baram, so it was Tov Ma'od. Now we're going to see that it's not good's man creation because he was created without a woman. So this is very important. But Yom HaShem Elokim lo tov, it's not good, hiyot Adam levado, the man is alone. Eseh lo eze kenegdo, I will make for him a helper against him. This is God speaking. You with me? Now, what is that saying? It's saying a very big point here. That man's existential crisis is being alone. All of man's problems stem from his loneliness. No. That's all of his problems stem from his loneliness. We don't yet know what loneliness means. And the solution to man's loneliness is, Eseh lo eze kenegdo, I will make him a helper against him. Which we know is a wife, right? Gemara says, you say, Hariat as Ezrati, Mekudeshet, Kenegdi, Mekudeshet, right? That's a lashon for a wife. Why is a wife called a helper against you? That's a very weird lashon for a wife. Like, if you went to a supermarket and said, if you buy $200 of groceries, right, we'll give you a helper against you. What's a helper against you? He'll pick up the box, He'll help you 2 meters. You go back 2 meters. Thank you.
Go back 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'll do without that one. We don't need a helper against us. We want a helper in life. Right? So now let's see Rashi. We'll try and understand what's happening here. You with me? You with me? Akiva. Let's go. Lo tov hiyot adam levado. Rashi. Shelo yomru. They won't say. Who won't say? The angels. Or people won't stay. Who's is Shelo Yomru? Shtei Rishuyot Hen. The two dominions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'elyonim. God in the higher worlds. Yachid. Alone. Ve'ein Lozug. And he doesn't have a partner. You listening? God doesn't have a partner. Ve'zeh Betachtonim. And man in the lower worlds. Ve'ein Lozug. And doesn't have a partner. So what's the solution? God says the solution is making him an Ezer Kenegdo. Zacha, if he has a skus, a merit, Ezer, he's a helper. Lo Zacha, Kenegdo, against him, Lilachem, to fight him. You still want to get married? If you're Zoche, she's going to be your helper. If you're not, she's going to fight you. Well, how about, you know, like some in-between ground, like, you know, not help her and not fight. You know, like just sit down and watch TV together. Oh, sorry, not TV. Watch, not watch. Right? Play chess together, right?
Shopping.
The shopping together, right? What's this? Or Zacha, she's helping? Or Lo Zacha, she's fighting? What does that mean? And what does it mean? It's, remember, we're talking about conceptually. We're talking about a spiritual woman here.
It's because man inherently is going to go... There's not going to be any... you know, any particularly straight path with as much free will as a man has, can go any which direction that he wants. Whereas if there's a woman in the picture and a much more grounded in spirituality, she's gonna
help you play your
keep him,
you
know,
pin him down,
keep him on the
right track. Okay.
Direct.
That could be an answer. That means she's going to be helping you to go the right way, and she's going to be against you, fighting you to go in the wrong way. Right?
Right, helping you fight your gate somewhere.
Yeah, put you in the right track. Okay, so let's see.
Doesn't Zacha have like a different, another meaning?
Zacha means merit. Okay? Alright, so what does it mean, these two authorities? And what does this mean, that there's two Rishuyot? So, obviously, if you're considering man as a deity in the lower worlds, we're not talking about some Homo sapien ape here, right? We're talking about something which could be compared to a deity, some spiritual, completely spiritual being, right? And we're saying that in the higher worlds, it's Kodesh Baruch Hu who's a yachid, doesn't have a bat zug, right? And who has expression without someone to accept that expression. And there's man in the lower worlds who has his own self-expression, his own bechira is also a baal bechira. So that means Kodesh Baruch is in control of the higher worlds, and man is in control of the lower worlds, and they're separate. That's a problem. The purpose of creation is connect. That's a problem. That's not a good thing. That's a lotov. That's what's saying lotov yot adam levado. If man's alone, it also implies that God's somehow alone. We're going to explain that, what that means. And it implies that there's two deities in the world. There's a higher world, and there's a lower world. Right? There's no connection between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Man's in control of the lower world, and God, so to speak, is in control of the higher worlds.
God's not in control of this world.
That's what it seems to be saying. That's what it seems to be saying. That's what you would say. That means it seems that way. Okay. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Ve'yitze Hashem Elokim, and God formed min ha'adama kol chai tasadeh, all the animals of the fields. Ve'et kol of Hashemayim, and all the birds of the heavens. Ve'yaveh el ha'adam, and he brought them to man. Lir'ot ma'yikralo, what do you call them? Ve'kol ha'she yikralo ha'adam, nefesh chaya, hushimo, and anything that man called it, nefesh chaya, this living being, that was his name. Oh, Dr. Doodle, that's a penguin, that's a sheep, that's a cow. That's what he's doing. He's calling his man. Man was, you know, let's have fun with man. I'll bring you the animals. You think, what does it mean, vayaveh? The Gemara says, vayaveh, right? El ha'adam is the same as what it says later on, which says when God brought the woman.
Like he dated the animals.
Yeah. He dated the animals, yeah. He had relations with the animals. That's what Vayaveh means. Rashi says it. Because when it says Zot HaPam, this is the time. Melamed says Rashi, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, right? Melamed, yeah? Sheba Adam al kol behema v'chaya. The man had relations with all the animals. V'lo nitkarara da'ato. And his das wasn't cooled down, wasn't rested. Ad Sheba al Chava, until he had relations with Chava. Now we're talking about man, who's this in comparison with the deity, he's having relations with animals? God brought him to have relations with animals? What does that mean? What does it mean to have a relationship with an animal? And therefore he called them a name? What does that mean? And Velonit Karadatan, we're going to understand, now we're going to get a bit more of an understanding about what Das is. And his Das wasn't Mityashev, wasn't calmed down. What does that mean as well? Now we know that a name means the essence. Connecting with the animals was understanding their essence. To know someone, that term, means to understand that thing's essence. That means the lotion of connection, as das, means to understand the essence of the other person. When man understood the essence of these animals, he didn't have full connection. He understood the essence, he could call them their names in essence, in Lashon HaKodesh. He understood fully the depths of an animal. He understood fully, had full connection with the world. Man understood the world in full way. He had a full connection, full expression with the world. He connected to the world in a complete way. What did that cause man? Next pasuk. Vayikra ha'adam shemod l'kol ha'behema ul'of ha'shamayim. He called names to all the animals. Ul'chol chayat ha'saden, all the animals of the fields. Ula Adam lo matza eze kenegdo. Now man knew, after having a relation with the animals, beforehand it was God telling us that man needed an eze kenegdo. Now man didn't find an eze kenegdo. Man's own feeling, man's own existential crisis tells him the same thing that God knows, that he doesn't need to have an eze kenegdo. And now we'll have the creation of Chava. But that's only after man has that realization that he does not have completion in any other animals. He doesn't have lo nitkare dato. His das wasn't somehow rested. So das means the ability to completely connect.
Knowing.
And the complete depth. Yeah. Not knowing. Das means that complete connection, to connect in essence to something else. That's what das means. We're going to see later on, the pasuk's going to say when Adam and Chava had relations, vayada et Chava ishto. He knew his wife in the biblical term, right? What does it mean? They say in the biblical terms, it means he knew her essence. He understood her. What does it mean to know the essence? That's the mitzvah pruvu. We're going to get there. You're going to understand that pruvu, be fruitful and multiply, is the same concept as das. Das means to take your essence, like the DNA, take your essence and express it in something else, which will be expressed more fully. So when he wanted to have relations, when he had relations with the animals, this spiritual man who was thought of by the angels as a deity, right? Man saw that he couldn't be fully expressed. His essence could not be expressed in the animal. V'lo nitkarer da'ato. Man could not be expressed. The animals were also on a higher level than we can understand the animals, right?
Was this challenge posed to Adam or Hashem?
Yeah, man, I've got to.
In order for him
to realize,
see the necessity of having.
Yeah, 100%. That's the reason. God brought it in order that man would have this existential crisis. Man would realize. Now, get this clear. You might understand the world. You might be in complete connection with your creator, that was man. You might understand fully the world. But if you don't have proper expression in the world, you're lonely. That's what alone means. Lonely means you don't have proper expression. Man did not have proper expression. He was told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. Chazal tell us, it's brought down in Chazal, the Ari says, he was supposed to eat from the Eitz Hadas on Shabbos. He was supposed to. Now, eating from the Eitz Hadas is actually physical relationship with his wife. The chet of Adam HaRishon was the eating of the Eitz Hadas, was the relationship with his wife, this point to the Arizal, before Shabbos. Had he had relations with his wife on Shabbos, the world would have come to its fixing place. That would have been fine. That would have been the eating of the Eitz Hadas. I.e., man was there to be able to eat from the Eitz Hadas of Tov V'Ra. Because ultimately, that was the mitzvah he was given to bring the world to its fixing place. We're going to get there. Maybe I'll put in a little bit of the chet when we're learning. Now let's read further and then we'll understand.
Wait, you got
So why was the order here different? Here we see that man was created than the animals. Really, Rashi explains the animals were created beforehand. The reason it was brought in this order here is to bring on man's existential crisis. I.e., they were formed beforehand, but it was if they were formed afterwards here, because we were bringing them to man when they were formed, to bring on man's existential crisis to him. In terms of, from man's point of view, you understand what I'm saying? From man's point of view, in terms of man's existential crisis, man got to know the animals and relate to him after he was created. But not that they were created after man.
But it's from the Pshat, it says, I will make him a helper. It is not good that man be alone. I'll make him a helper. And Hashem formed out of the ground every beast of the fields and every bird of the sky.
Right.
So it's saying, so it's clearly saying that, that they were created after.
No, so Rashi tells you it's referring to what, like in Chumash, it's referring to what was already created. It's just brought down here in this order because it's trying to explain what the creation in terms of man's existential crisis. Man getting to know the creation. It was formed for man here. Understand? In terms of man's understanding, it was after man was created. Man was created, and then these things were formed. Like above, it had did the same thing. It said, we'll do this again, we'll do this now. I said I would go back to it, so I'll do it now. It said, the Eid Yaleh Min HaAretz, that the cloud went up and rained. That was after. So the previous Rashi says, he explains that this rain only came after man was created, and he prayed for rain. I.e., everything was in potential before man came into the situation. Yeah? And then he prayed for rain. It's written before man was created. Right? It's written beforehand. But it actually happened after man was created. It's like it was told, this was told after here. After when, because we had the creation of man beforehand. And then this was told to us, and then we go back to man, and now we're dealing with man. We go back to this man's creation. We talk about that in detail. Then we go, what about the animals? So we mentioned, God created the animals and he brought them to man. Yeah, when would he create the animals? He created the animals before man, but when did he bring them to man? He brought them after man was created. So you mentioned that after man was created. It's just mentioned after man was created, but that's not the order of creation. It's the order in relationship to man. You with me?
A little bit.
All of man's problems comes from his loneliness. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, or chevrusa or mitusa, or a friend, someone you can express yourself with, or death. In psychology, they're saying the same thing. All psychological problems come from bad relationships, which is loneliness. Or improper relationships.
So what about woman's loneliness?
Same thing. Women also have a problem. Woman is also a man, in a sense. Man is a concept. Female is a concept. A man has a male and female part. A female has a male and female part.
So
a female is more.
Really refers to both.
It's not the man as we know. It's a concept, but it's a spiritual concept. But it's a concept. A female that we know is more relationship to this female over here, but it's a conceptual female. A female can have male aspects of her. She can also be lonely. A woman doesn't have is less lonely than a man in a certain way. Because a woman, she does have potential to be expressed, but it's in a different form. You understand?
So if we
understand... Ve'yapel Hashem Elokim. And God made fall, tardema, a deep sleep, al ha'adam. Remember, we're creating women now. Vayishan, and he fell asleep. Vayikach achat mitzalotav. He took one of his sides. Vayisgo basa tachtena, and he closed the flesh under her. Vayiven Hashem Elokim, and God built et hatzela, the tzela, this side, asher lakach, which he took from man, min ha'adam, from man, le'isha, into a woman. Ve'yivieha el ha'adam, and he brought it to man. You see the same lotion of ve'yivieha? He brought a lotion beer. Ve'yome ha'adam, lotion relations, language of relationship. Ve'yome ha'adam, and man said, zot ha'pam, he had relations with Chava. This is the time, etze me'atzmai, essence of my essence, ubasa v'vsari, and flesh for my flesh. Lezot yikare isha. This I will call a woman. Ki me'ish lukacha zot. From man this was taken. Therefore, says the Pasuk, Al Kain, therefore, Ya'azov ish et aviv. A man will leave his father, vet imo, and his mother. V'davak be'ishto. And will cling to his wife. V'ayu lebasa echad. And there will be one flesh. Now, if you understand this, this concept of one flesh is going back to this concept we originally had of them being two parts of him, two heads of one guf, i.e. this connection of man, male to female, becoming one, right? This concept is the tachlis of the Bria. And it makes very good sense now with this Arizal that this is the head of Adam Rishon. The Chet of Adam Rishon was that he did this connection on the weekday. The weekday is a day when there's still good and bad in the world. That's why it's Eitz Tov Vera. On Shabbos, it's only Eitz Tov, no Vera. Because only Shabbos is a day of only goodness. The world is a world of toil. A world of toil, a world of psolet, a world of or v'choshech, light and darkness. Since that connection was done on a weekday, there was a irbuv, a mixture of good and evil. That was the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Vayu shnehem arumim. They were both naked. Ha'adam ve'ishto v'lo yit boshashu. And they weren't embarrassed. So now we're going to explain. Now the Chumash is going to go into the Nachash. Now that woman was created, we're going to mention all of a sudden this Nachash, this Chaya that was created on the sixth day, called the snake, who was a walking person in the Chet of Adam HaRishon. But now let's explain what happened here. Why he had to put man to sleep? Why didn't he just create another woman from all the earth of the land and make a woman and bring her to man? Why did he create the wife from man?
What, the connection. The direct connection.
That she would be...
Unity in one being.
Right, like you want to... Take someone's, you want to transplant. He has to have the same sort of DNA connection. I know exactly. So you take from man that it'll be connected, right? That's a simple pshat, right? Well, but that's the reason.
When you sleep, your shamans will return to.
Huh? It's not so there'll be like doctors. It's not a doctor thing. What? Here the concept is that a woman is part of man. It's half of man. It's part of man. Man has a female aspect. That female aspect has to be brought, taken out of man, built, and man reconnected with it. Right? The man, in a certain sense, has innately in him that ability to express and to be expressed. And that's his wife. It's a part of man. So the connection is the connection of man with part of himself. So his wife is part of himself, it's his own essence. Now how does it explain man's existential crisis? How does it explain that God is without a yochid, without a connector in the upper worlds, and man is without an expressor in the lower worlds, without a zug in the lower worlds? How does this give this answer? That's the problem of Bracious. And what's this A is a connector? How does it give an answer to it? The answer is very simple. Now that man has an expressor in the lower worlds, now that man is fully expressed in a proper way, so God is also fully expressed. Who's God's expressor? Man. Man is God's Zug. Now that man is fully expressed in the lower worlds, God is the one who's fully expressed through man in the lower worlds. So God's Zug is man. So now there's a complete connection with the higher worlds and the lower worlds. You with me? So there's no problem of levado anymore. We don't see the separation of lower and higher worlds. Because man's tachlis is to express the goodness of God in this lower world. How does man do this? Through an isha. When man has the proper expression of Eitz Tov, of Das Tov, then God is being fully expressed in the lower world. So that's why you understand now. Marriage in Judaism is the ultimate Kedusha. The ultimate Kedushin. Kedushin, that's the ultimate. Because when man has full expression in the lower world, it means God is fully expressed. And what do we say? It's a Chazal. Shlosha shutfim ba'adam. When it says basa echad, it means they became one flesh. Rashi says also, one flesh means you have a child from it. A child is formed of one flesh from that, right? What does that mean? Well, it's Rashi or it's a Ramban? I always get them confused. Rashi says, Havlat notza al yedei shneihem v'naase basachad. They became one flesh, Rashi. So now, what does that mean? The Gemara says, Shlosh shutfim ba'adam. The three partners in the creation of a human being. His mother, his father, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is expressed in that creation. He gives the neshama. So that connection of man and woman is the expression of God in the world. That's what it really means. So when man and woman are correctly expressing themselves, when correctly connecting, when man's expressing his godliness within him, the neshama that's going to be expressed and that moment of connection is going to be a very, very big neshama. You understand? And that's the tachlis of creation. Now that's all literally a male-female relationship, but it's also conceptually. Conceptually means that man's tachlis in the world is to express his essence in the world. And that's the dominion that we were speaking about beforehand. And that's the pruvu, the kivshuha, and have dominion over the land. You understand how it all connects? How it all comes to this tachlis? Now what's the Ezer connector? Why is a woman called your Ezer connector? Why is she an Ezer connector? So there's a very important Revolvi. Revolvi says, and this is the tachlis of simcha. This is why all of these things bring a person to simcha, to joy. Ezer connector means that any place where we have simcha, Revolvi says, is where there's nigudim, where there's things which are against you. When you overcome those nigudim and you connect, or you become one, then there's simcha. That comes from here. That's because you're keeping, you coming to your tachlis. Why is it that when a person crowns Everest, he wants to climb the highest mountain, he wants the hardest nigudim, the hardest thing against him. He's a brilliant mountain climber. Why does he want those things? Climb a little hill. What do you need the thing of climbing Everest for? What do you need that for? The reason is because when he has to climb Everest, this great mountain climber, he'll come to a place that he doesn't know how to climb it. This like thing that sticks out of the mountain. He'll overcome it. How he'll overcome it? He'll be creative in overcoming it. That's his connector. He'll use his creativity to overcome it. And that difficulty will become his joy. That will become, now put that flag on the top of Everest, he accomplished it. Life is full of those nigudim, those difficulties. That's the concept of the Ezer connector. The nigudim in life, or those difficulties in life, is what pushes a person to make the right choices, to overcome those difficulties and be creative in overcoming those difficulties and facing his life and overcoming his life. That's what brings, that's the tachlis of the person. That means the difficulties in life, we're not here, we're not Buddhists like who say we remove ourselves from the suffering in this world, we remove ourselves from the good in this world. No, we're Jews. We face the suffering and we fight it and we try and bring good out of the bad. You with me? Because all bad is intrinsically good. And all those nigudim are there for us to be creative in expressing God's goodness through them. You with me? And that's the tachlis of creation. That's the purpose of creation. That's the concept of ish v'isha. The isha brings these nigudim. The isha brings on these nigudim. That's what we're going to see soon. As soon as we mention the woman, we're going to have the nachash. We're going to have the yetzara. It's not that the woman represents the devil, chas v'shalom, like some religions. No. That's the concept of nigudim in the world. That's the concept of things that a person has to overcome in the world. And that's what brings man to his ultimate joy, his ultimate expression, his ultimate creativity in the world. It's a positive thing. The Yetzirah is tov me'od, the Gemara says. Right? It's good. It's a good thing. And that's why, as soon as we mention the woman, we're going to mention this concept of the Nachash, and the Cherev Adam Rishon, and that's what brought all the Nigurim into the world, and that's why we're here, to overcome those Nigurim. That's the Tachlis of our creation. You with us? Understand now? Okay.